Record.
Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife, the lead consultant with Midwifery Business Consultation. Shantae Hawkins joined our team a couple months ago. She's a phenomenal business consultant. I've really enjoyed chatting with her. She was newer to the midwife space, but she's very passionate about the midwife space. But she's phenomenal with business and operations and grants and nonprofits. That's her niche and specialty. So we do a monthly Facebook Live Q&A, and it's kind of a unique niche on top of a niche. Midwives, few of them start private practice. It's usually home birth center, but I wanted us to start open up conversations that midwife maybe will open a nonprofit they didn't think about. So if someone comes in, it's a live Q&A that we've invited people to, but right now it's just Shantae and I. So we'll record it and answer questions and put this on the YouTube channel. Thanks, Shantae, for being here today with your valuable time.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I'm learning in this space, and it's a really unique and exciting space to learn. There's so many opportunities to serve moms, babies, the community at large. It's such a, it's almost like a double-edged sword or like a double standard or something, but it's
I'm
like
thinking Pandora's box. Once you open it, you're like, oh, I can't shut it. I can't shut this yet.
Exactly. But there's so much work to be done, and it's so exciting. And I know that nonprofits, when you think nonprofits versus for-profits, nonprofits seems to be so daunting and so overwhelming. But one of the benefits to nonprofits is you're not doing it alone. So traditionally speaking, a lot of for-profit companies are, single preneurs or solopreneurs, and they're, out there bustling and hustling to get their businesses off the ground. But when you think of a nonprofit, you get to champion a cause within a group of people who share in your views and your cause, and they will come together to help collaborate. And that's the foundation of your executive board. And I really like to encourage the nonprofits that I've worked with. And I've been in the nonprofit sector since I began business back in 2013. Nonprofits helped my life at that time. I was just transitioning out of my job, had a brand new baby. Me and my husband were just trying to grapple with all of the changes. And we spent a lot of time going to different nonprofits for like diapers and food and resources like that. And I'm a Libra, and I love to give and just give back. So I felt like, okay, I made this transition from being in the corporate America space, but now I'm at home. I have to take care of my family. How can I continue to provide and be of service? And that was working with nonprofits, going back to those institutions that helped me and my family. And I just did, some volunteer work with them. And then I got into homeschooling my sons. So then I had to figure out how to strategically volunteer, and I was doing volunteer remotely, and I didn't even know that you could do that in 2013. So
Well, it's amazing. I know I was going to bring a comment and then I'll say hello to Lindsay, but the largest standing birth centers across the country historically are nonprofits because it's not so vulnerable of one person. And all of a sudden, a financing or she slips and falls and she wants to retire and she has other things in her life prioritized. It's more vulnerable versus the community owns it. Multiple people, they
yes.
can absorb that ebbs and flows. And that's where a lot of people are like, we need a solo midwife. And I was like, teams have a benefit in a lot of degrees of legacy and sustainability. So nonprofits are phenomenal. If you want big scale, big dreaming, long term outlives you, there's a lot of benefits to the nonprofit. Lindsay, thank
Absolutely.
you mu so much for joining. We just started recording it for doing a YouTube video. I know it's a niche on top of a niche for midwives and nonprofits. We didn't know how many people would show up today, but I wanted to leave it as an open opportunity. So we just started chatting about common questions that come up with nonprofits. You are more than welcome to ask as many questions you want, Lindsay, or you can just be quiet and listen to Shantae and I chat away and put stuff in the bottom comments. We're open to however you want to be supported.
So, hi, Lindsay. Thank you for joining. Please feel free to ask any questions to help fuel our conversation, because it is about you and what you are looking to accomplish. And you have a really big team of passionate people here at Midwifery Business Consulting to help to get, your business ideas off the ground.
Yeah, I know Lindsay's name well. I see it in the enrollments here and there. So I love to see it's such a small community. So like my heart sings when I'm like, I know that name. I know that name. So hi,
Yeah.
Lindsay. Nice to see
Hi.
your face with a name.
Thanks. I know. Thanks. Awesome. Did you have any kind of questions or?
Not yet.
No? Okay. Well, I would encourage anybody who would want to, you know, consider a nonprofit in home birth centers to really give it a go. Mm-hmm. Uniquely, this time is unprecedented with, you know, moms
COVID
and babies
and grants and awareness. Yes. It's just massive. Like I hear over and over again, I don't have the money. I was like, if you choose the direction of for profit, there's women business assistance. There's so much out there for a minority as in served. And then for nonprofits, there's massive amount of funding and opportunities out that direction too.
Absolutely. And collaborating between nonprofits and for-profits are wildly encouraged, especially when you think about the nonprofit serving the community at large. You want to have as many hands on deck, so to speak, in order to actually champion the cause. You know, it really does go beyond in a for-profit mindset of how we're going to, you know, get the funding in right now or how we're going to make the money to everybody pitching in from donations to grants, et cetera, et cetera. So you really have an extended, you know, group of people who would really support the organization itself. And it might sound challenging, but what were you going to say, Leslie?
Well, I was just going to say, sometimes we should go to the basics now that Lindsay's on. What is the difference between a for-profit, nonprofit on a business entity structure? If you can talk about that, Shante.
Oh, absolutely. So nonprofits and for-profits, the name is different. And there's probably, I mean, there's a few challenges that might be, or a few things that might be different, but they pretty much function alike. One of the greatest differences is how the money that a for-profit creates or makes, or the revenue of it, how it is used in a nonprofit versus a for-profit. So nonprofits are just as equally challenged as a for-profit, I'm saying this right, with sustainability, right? We have to have a
business planning. You've got to have operation systems. And there's still staffing, there's still services, there's still money to be made, but
yes, absolutely. So you want to consider your nonprofit a business and have that mindset of a for-profit structure. Like I was just working with the nonprofit a week ago, one of my newest clients that I'm working with. And, you know, we're all in the strategic planning phase. And then she made one comment. She said, well, that's not my original idea. And I said, well, you know, she said, someone helped me put a business plan together. I said, oh, you caught on. You realized you needed a business plan. Yes. So what that business plan does is keep us, everyone in the nonprofit, aligned with the vision and the mission and the values of the organization. It informs our why we get up every day. And without mm-hmm. that being documented, we kind of misstep from time to time. You know, some of the benefits of having a business plan for the sake of strategic planning for nonprofits is having organizational planning and alignment. You won't know what your workforce is if we don't have a well-documented plan, right?
Well, I give the example of, you know, where you eventually want to go. You want to go to the mountains, you want to go to Disney, but if you don't have your GPS and your roadmap, you're going to wander all over the place.
You'll be detoured off to Mount Rushmore. You'll probably get to the Eiffel Tower. You know, it won't be a straight shot there, you know. And with strategic planning, sometimes it's not a straight path there. However, it keeps us in some form of trajectory towards mm-hmm. our ultimate goal, right? So another benefit of having a business plan is understanding your workforce planning, who we need on our team to right. make these, you know, our goals a reality. Also,
yeah. So the big, what were the big differences? I know you had started with those, oh, like yes. who owns it and what the money is done with, I think are the two big exactly. ones I noticed. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when we talk about the revenue, how revenue is generated for profit, nonprofit, just the same. However, in a nonprofit, that money goes back into the organization and it funds the organization itself versus a for profit, when the money is owned, it goes back to the business owner, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Or goes back to the community, goes back to the yes. mission. It's a cycling effect versus yes. this person put it together and adding value to have a better lifestyle and thing versus it was the mission is important, but they get a little icing on the cake. So
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the way the money is also reported, the the revenue is reported makes a big difference as well, because that's that the sustainability component of a nonprofit. So when you think about grants for nonprofits, they want to understand, how does a nonprofit make money and where does the money go to keep the nonprofit open? Because like what Leslie alluded to, that the nonprofit is for the community. It's like a by the community, for the community effort. And so we need to know that we are making that money to keep the operations going, to continue to sustain and uplift the community. So even with planning, so I know when it comes to for-profits, we're very accustomed to the business plan. And the business plan is being outlined according to what we want to see happen. And so nonprofits think that traditionally they only need a strategic plan. But strategy, being the root word of strategic, means this is a pathway to how we want to navigate the industry and the market in which we are working in. If we don't understand where we are playing, so to speak, if we don't understand the industry, then we can't inform the direction we want to take to achieve our goals, right? So a strategy is separate than the actual plan, as a plan is giving you steps towards execution, and a strategy is literally guiding that plan, if that makes sense. So we do always want to have a foundational business plan for any venture that we are endeavoring to take on. So that gives us, you know, gives us action steps to take, because a plan is something that we could take action on versus a strategy that can inform our decisions that we're going to make. So I always want to encourage my nonprofit champions to always consider business planning at the very start of their organization.
If someone is thinking of starting it, what is the funding differences for for-profits, nonprofits? Because I know there's a lot of choices.
There are a lot of choices. I've worked with some for-profit companies that like to take on or like to dip into nonprofit funding, you know, and nonprofit resources. But without that 501c3 status, it's not applicable to nonprofits. And so certain things like local and local grants sometimes, and then also some of the federal grants, are not available to specific organizations that are not nonprofits. Okay. So sometimes we got to be careful with the funding guidelines, because even depending on the type of nonprofit, so there's 501c3s, 501c6s. So depending on the type of organization that you have, you also are not available or have access to certain funds as well. Mm-hmm. Nonprofits do have access to loans, just like for-profits. However, what makes one of the criteria for nonprofits versus for-profits is making sure that they have the impact, able to measure their impact, because funders or grant makers, what they want to contribute to your cause. So they need to know that when they put their money into your organization, that it's actually
going to data metrics that are being
met, and that they can see the benefit, the ROI in a social benefit company or in a nonprofit, is to see that their funds are actually making a difference, versus in for profits, they're there just to help make you, you know, help you to move your needle forward, and maybe capacity is not even the word, but just making sure that the funds are available.
Well, I think they both have the same standard of they want profit. They want to know what they put in, that they're going to get paid back, or if there's a percentage of partnership. They both want profits in the businesses. It's just that the profits go back to whoever you partnered with for the funding, or they want to know the funding, the money they gave, is going to have a long-term impact on the community. Impact. So I think it's a difference of
it's different
what that money's turning into.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The ROI, which is different. So in a
return on investment. A lot of these midwives don't understand your wonderful business lingo, Shante. Sorry. So I'm going to be your translator. So
the return on investment, short for ROI, in a for-profit situation, say if you were to get funding from a bank, for example, that is almost like it's a form of investment. They're investing in your vision, and they see that it's a staple in the community, so they will put the funds, you know, in your organization or your business. However, they're also putting that money in there in hopes that they will then get their money back.
The interest, yep. They didn't give it to you 0% interest. That little part's profit margin, yeah.
Exactly. So then, of course, then you have to consider they are a stakeholder in your business. And so now you have to keep in mind that there is somebody there that is also, what's the word? That's also looking out for the benefit of the organization, that they're going to benefit by being in partnership or investing in your business, right? And the social... Well, the ROI in a nonprofit industry, the return on investment is more social. They want to see how their funds have advanced the community in which they put their money into. So it's not necessarily they will want their money back. They want to, and this is where your impact and your measurements will help them to understand how they have made a difference through your organization with their donations. So,
well, and it's I stress to people, they have to think the other angle. Anytime you're talking to somebody, think like they do. They have 15, 20 places they could donate, they could put their money towards. They want to know it's going to the best place. If you don't have a good business plan, you're going to close in 3 months, 2 years, or it's a trend, it's not actually a bigger impact. They can pick somewhere else for the money to go. So you have to sell yourself. They want, as foundations and grants and this money that's being donated to the wonderful cause, that they're going to pick the place that can put it in the biggest impact. So you have to think there's competitors out there of other nonprofits looking for that money too.
And it's so, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, nonprofit, I worked with a couple of leaders that didn't think that the same considerations that a for-profit would have to go through, feasibility, competitors, the market landscape. Oh, that doesn't apply because I'm a nonprofit. You're a business. You're a business first, and there is competitors. People have choices. That's why we have competitors. So to your point, Leslie, if your nonprofit doesn't have the feasibility, doesn't meet the feasibility standards for long term or have a long trajectory, then people who want, or even other organizations that want to invest, they might choose not to invest because they don't see the long-term impact or an immediate impact of putting their money and their time into your organization. So top of mind, remember that we are a business first, and whether we're in business to make money in a for-profit situation or to make a benefit or make an impact, yes, we still have to consider that we are a business, and what we aim to do still needs to meet a need in the community. And
well, and I want to reinforce, like, whether you do nonprofit, for profit, we all have missions. Like when I do the consulting or for profits or birth centers are created, we're still serving the community, but it's a matter of the business structure of what's cycling the money. So I don't want to give people the stigma of, because I think there's a lot of psychology of like, oh, midwives can't make money, and the psychology, and like we're charging too high, and we want to get, like, they're all wonderful missions. They're very similar. We want to better our community, better outcomes, but it's a matter of how the money funnels at the very end that makes a big pivotal difference. So
was that a question, Lindsay?
Yeah, I was just gonna read a little bit of a conflict of interest for a for business for professional services to also. So I guess if you don't, can you expand on it, Lindsay? Because not necessarily it would be if they're like right across the street. So she was asking about conflict of interest for for-profit midwife businesses on the professional side to also set up a non-profit freestanding, because you can get privileges. Yeah, so I'd love for you to expand on that, Lindsay. That's a great question.
It really is. Lindsay, did you want to add anything before we tackled your question?
No.
Okay. Well, it is highly encouraged that there is a for-profit element to your nonprofit element for the sake of funding and sustainability, because not always is there in a nonprofit an opportunity to, there's a little bit of a challenge for that sustainability element. Sometimes, you know, you can't find what you could serve some, you know, the community with a service or a product that they could afford. It all depends on what your nonprofit is set up to do. So it's always great to have a for-profit that helps to, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but a for-profit to help fund, or a for-profit to help to provide money for the nonprofit, if that makes sense.
Well, so and the angle that I will add, Shantae, because I think Lindsay's kind of hinting to the Anti-Stark Act, because there's a regulation that if there's multiple physicians to collaborate with and you have a financial kickback from one and you're using that one more than the other, or you're pushing the envelope, I think that's maybe where she's alluding to the hint of. But think of it this way, Lindsay, you're not directly getting a financial profit from that birth center. The community, the board of the directors is, you could always overkill and put on your agreements a disclaimer, but the big thing with that conflict of interest is you are getting directly financially compensated from a referral or a service used. So maybe that's what you were hinting at with the conflict of interest. No, joint relationships happen all the time. In hospital settings, we send them to home services and to WIC and funding all the time. We outsource and refer, and it's never once a conflict of interest because you're not getting a financial referral kickback from that entity of sending people there. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. How does that sound, Leslie? I mean, Lindsay.
Lindsay, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it happens all the time. And it's the best of both worlds. Like, we were just brainstorming before we started hitting record, because the consulting services and taking it to the next level, we have so much value. But a lot of these new graduate midwives, CNMs, CPMs, it's a lot of money for a consulting service and a large package that we're working on the outskirts ourselves of foundational sisterhood relationships that they can provide the funding and the outsource resources to pay for the consulting services to help the midwife. So, I mean, we're on our own terms thinking, like, how do we create a win-win situation with nonprofits and cross referral services?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I would love to discourage the idea that nonprofits need to work singularly in the silo effect, because that's not it. When funders and grant makers look at organizations, they want to know how they are impacting the community at large and who else is buying into the organization, what kind of strategic partnerships are set up and ventures out there to really help to meet the need of the community in which the nonprofit serves. It helps to really help with the financial aspect of it, because funders don't want organizations to say, like, some of the questions that are found in grant proposals is, who else is championing your cause? Who else are you partnering with? Who else is here? Like, what are the next grants you have in line? Because we want to contribute, but we don't want, once the money that we contribute ends, your organization to stall or the community to not be able to advance, right? So those partnerships are highly encouraged to help keep moving the needle forward in the organization, to help in the community.
Well, and we talk about it with business ownership all the time, leveraging the experts around you. You're going to take it to the next level. They want to know you're not going to be the average community impact. You're going to be stellar because you're leveraging the experts around you. And that makes no difference. So that's what's cool. I would say, like, 90% of for-profits and nonprofits are similar. People don't realize how similar they are. Absolutely. There's just a few legal and regulatory and end game things that are different.
Exactly. And I mean, like we were saying earlier, it's a community effort, right? Mm-hmm. And so just understanding there are limitations with working with a nonprofit, but that's just because it's highly government regulated. You're working to serve a large industry and your work is stand to impact many people for full lengths of time, generations at a time, right? So we have to be careful about those regulations and how we are, you know, handling our business, so to speak, in that nonprofit realm. For-profit is a lot more lenient, but however, nonprofits do have a lot of benefits in terms of taxes and being able to have volunteers. And then there is a lot more money, you know, and donors. Except
donations, cash exempted from the community, yes, versus for-profit. So there's other angles that you can do.
Yes, mm-hmm. There are large benefits to it. I mean, when you think about the similarities in operations and structure, they run just the same. So let's say if you were starting a for-profit C-Corp, you would still have a board of directors. You would still have your meetings that you would have to attend. You would still have to report up. You would be reporting to your stakeholders, essentially. But in a nonprofit, you will still be reporting to your stakeholders. That will be your community members. That will be your volunteers. That would be your, you know, all of your board members. So it's very similar in structure in that regard. You know, there's still things like marketing and planning and communication, program mm-hmm. development, service development. They very run much similar in that regard.
Well, and one thing I think of, Shantae, when we do our first couple consulting meetings, we always go to the basics. Like, where's your end goal? Because if we have a joint mission, do you always want to run it? Do you always want to be part of it? Or do you want it to outgrow you? Because people don't realize, like, you can start it and your board of directors can feel eventually you aren't the best fit for the mission anymore. Like, people make the assumption, well, I started the nonprofit. The board can choose to have you part of it anymore. So, like, I think that's like, do you want something where you can always have control, you can always be the final decision maker, or do you want a team and you want it to outlive what you, you want a bigger legacy than what you alone would do? But there's also the angle of you could do for profit and create an extension foundation that you donate. I mean, there's layers of how you can do it. I think part of what gets midwives overwhelmed is there's very few education for birth workers in business, let alone there's a thousand ways to do it. So people just get overwhelmed and shut down. So that's what Shantae and I are really good at, is we talk and brainstorm through midwives. What's your end goal? What do you want to do? We could create one business. We could create 20 businesses with all these different layers in time. I'm not saying from day one, but it helps to know your end game to make those high. So that's what Shantae and I are really good at, is like, okay, maybe you do need a nonprofit, but that's not the first strategy from day one. Or there is the foundation extension. Like, you just, those are questions we always talk about. Is there anything else you go over with your consultant clients, Shantae, just asking them questions and helping them make that decision of what type of business entity?
Absolutely. And it really does start with understanding your why, right? Every business, for-profit, nonprofit, why do you want to do this? And that's establishing a vision, making it plain. And then what do you envision the world to be a better place? And if you feel like, you know, you want to serve the community at large, and maybe you're leaning more into a public benefit versus a for-profit, you know, you do have more reach. If you're someone who likes to be involved and hands-on and in the community working with people, then that kind of aligns with something more, you know, for a nonprofit. And like Leslie said, there are for-profits with missions, visions, and mission statements as well, you know, but it all does depend on, like Leslie said, how do you want to engage with your business? You know, where does that put you? And then understanding, you know, your pain to purpose. Why? Who is this impacting? You know, what is out there in the world that might rub you the wrong way? When we think about Sarah Blakely and she spanks, from her pain to profit, you know, it's like, oh, nothing fit. This doesn't feel right, you know? And she went out and she started a business. If you're out in the community and you see that, you know, the homelessness might be getting, you know, a little outrageous, and you want to create, and you see abandoned buildings and you think, hey, let's pair the two. Let's see how we can transition the community from one angle to the next, you know? And those are usually really good ideas for wanting to start a business, is taking some kind of pain and giving it purpose, right? And that really helps to inform your mission for why you're doing it, you know?
And then you and we have obvious massive pains in the maternity midwifery world. It's just a matter of which one do you want to tackle on tackle. Not just there's a problem, but how does it fit you and your passion? Because we always reinforce to people, you can find problems all day long, but I don't want to do some of those problems. I don't want to fix some of those problems, because you're going to be part of it. That passion has to be really, really strong no matter what business entity you're doing, because you're going to have highs and lows as you're investing and you're creating and you're building, and you're going to feel so excited and then you're going to feel so discouraged. If you don't have that really strong passion behind what you're doing, it's not going to take you there long term. And so that's really important, of like, not just the angle of finding problems, but what problems fit your skills and your unique angle and your unique passion as being the one to vision and trailblaze what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And make it, and if you're one that could feel a purpose to that pain, to give it, you know, new life or new trajectory. And of course, you know, who the team is, especially in a for-profit situation, you're not doing, I mean, in a nonprofit situation, you're not doing this alone. So you want to rally people for good, like rally people around your ideas, you know, and then come together with that group of people and see if they can expand on your vision for how to make this work. You know, if, you know, for people who feel like they rather work individually and they rather work on their own and they're only, you know, looking
at. And even if it's a partnership with a couple other people, that's a different relationship than a board is too. So stressing, you can have a group and a business partnership. It's just structured totally different than a group board is.
And then getting them behind you, and then they can expand the vision and the mission of the organization, and, you know, together, if that's the trajectory you want. So again, asking when we're determining which lane to go, for profit versus nonprofit, we want to know, are we working for the greater good, or are we working, you know, in silo a little bit towards an individual, you know, end. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the masterminding of the mission, getting people together, putting the boots on ground and seeing if we can actually make this impact in the community. And then the collective effort, because it's never something you do, again, on your own, right? Mm-hmm. So then that's the mindset you want to put yourself in when you're considering, am I doing this? You know, mm-hmm. what reasons am I doing this? Is this for my community, or if it's kind of for myself? Because that's what for-profits are. Even though there's great missions and great visions of for-profit leaders, a lot of that is driven by the individual.
Yeah, they're personal. If they're like, I have a little angle and I want a culture focus versus, you know, maybe the data outcomes a little better and a bigger impact if we go this way, you're going to get more influential biases of that individual person's preferences versus the bigger whole. And you're going to get objective pain points of challenging things and looking at things differently because there's multiple people making the decisions versus one. The other thing I would love, Shantae, for you to talk about are the different types of nonprofit organizations that birth centers could be started as, particularly federally qualified health centers. There's two across the country, and I would love to see more of them. If you know much about it, otherwise I'll expand that subset kind.
No, so I'm going to have to defer that to you because I'm still a student in much of that area.
In the medical types of nonprofits, yeah. Yeah. So federally qualified health centers are really cool for midwives. They take a lot of paperwork, anything with the government, anything with the more regulations of government involvement and support and recognition of anything, whether it's an IHS facility or federally qualified health center, but the amount of impact is so much more. You actually get probably 30-40% more for Medicaid and for government programs at a federally qualified health center than you would at just a standard private practice accepting Medicaid. That's a big part of it because a lot of private practices or nonprofits will actually do all the paperwork, go through all the hoops. Because it's a reimbursement rate a lot higher, you get to be a preferred provider and a lot of access to things being a federally qualified health center. So I will add to the link at the bottom. I did an interview about 2 years ago with the director of one of the federally qualified health centers. So if people want to connect with her, she's amazing. Ebony is just an awesome, awesome midwife. So I'll put that in part of our conversation. But I would love, love, love to see more federally qualified health centers because you get to serve the underserved community, but not instead of the government becomes part of your foundation grant money because they're giving you an extra stipend than they would give the average person for that healthcare service.
And then, you know, this is a twist maybe on when you say the underserved, you think about women and you think about, you know, children. Mm-hmm. We are highly underserved, and that stretches across any other layer of demographics.
And that would I guess I should say underserved of like people that are more vulnerably don't have the financial capacity to do boutique and do non-covered services. I guess that's more what I was referencing. I get it. All moms and babies are underserved on quality measures. 100% agree with you. But from the business angle of statistically speaking, midwives, home births, where the really amazing outcomes happen, a lot of states, they're non-covered services, a lot of states, the government programs, or if they pay so minimally that these high quality, wonderful places can't keep up with the volume that's needed to make that low reimbursement. So when I'm saying underserved population, the people that would get the best outcomes and access to the outcomes don't necessarily able to.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And this is a benefit of creating a nonprofit midwifery practice. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, because if you're saying I want to serve the ladies that can't pay for home births in our areas, nonprofit makes a lot more sense than you starting another for-profit, because that for-profit's not solving the problem.
Exactly. And then not having the applicable resources like the grant funding, the government, the federal government. I mean, and then it does involve the community where people can donate to the birth of a baby, or champion a mom and a baby to get them through this process. It's just a lot more resources, donors being able to, you know, donate tools or other type of resources to help with the delivery of the baby, or helping to transition the mom, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Where in a for-profit situation, that wouldn't
they
really
can donate. Legally donate. They just don't, because now they have to pay taxes on it. So I mean, you can donate to a for-profit nonprofit, but most people don't. They're like, okay, my money will get used more if I put it to a nonprofit, because now it's a tax exempt and more of it will go, versus that there are, they can, but it's rare, because most people, if they're going to donate money, it'll go to a nonprofit.
Nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Because of the benefit, mm-hmm. the return benefit to mm-hmm. them. And then especially, yep. like you were saying, if they want to be able to maximize the use of mm-hmm. their contribution,
yeah.
it would go.
No, right. I would say the average person does not give enough credit to the power of a pre-tax dollar versus post-tax dollar. I stress it all the time. This is just high-level general business stuff. But like, if you can buy your car and your cell phone and your all your home office in the business, even though maybe the business isn't making money yet, you've just saved 30-40% in taxes, because now it's pre-tax money being used for it. Like if you bought a $50,000 vehicle with your business, you're paying $50,000. If you buy it with after income, it's closer to $75,000-$80,000. We don't see it because we think of our paychecks, but right. there's a difference when that difference. So I always stress to people with nonprofits and with businesses, like anything we can do to maximize our hard-earned money that it gives the biggest impact, let's do it that way. The government exactly. isn't at your best interest. Like if you actually follow the data of like 10% of it actually goes back in when people are paying their taxes and all these programs and systems, because of all the steps and the complexity and the whole thing, it eats up a good chunk of the money. So it used to be, before the government had federal taxes, there would be so many private practices or private organizations that excess money that now goes to the government, they did their own philanthropy and 100% of it went back. So I'm on that same page, like start your own, let's legally minimize your taxes to the government as much as possible, because you are going to do so much more with it. That's where we talk for profit and then a subset foundation, because you can donate to your, this is where I get high level strategy and get excited with midwives, but I know a lot of them right now are going to be like the basics. So we'll start you out with basics and just know there's really cool things we can take you to.
Mm-hmm. And that lets you know that you definitely want to come over and take a look yeah. at the Midwifery Business Consultant, because yeah. look at all the extensive knowledge.
Yeah. Well, Shantae, I think it's one thing. I mean, we have so many resources and it's a core mission. Like MBC, I'll give an example. Like this was started in 2017 because I had a large, large vision of changing the face of access to midwifery and the disparities and the challenges. These large midwifery organizations, there's 50 things of barriers and they're also interconnected. And so making a strategic plan of where we're going to go, what we're going to create. There's for-profits in my plan. There's nonprofits in my plan, and they all interconnect and support each other in the process, and connecting with great resources like Shantae, like we can take it to the next level having experts. So if anybody wants to learn more about nonprofits, I would say talk to Shantae all day long. She can do circles around nonprofits and foundation and grant work than I can. Lindsay, is there one last question you'd like to ask before we stop the record, and then we'll give you some time, a kind of one-on-one with us?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. Awesome. Anything you want to end with, Shantae? I think people, if they're considering a nonprofit or just the pros and cons, you and I both do discovery calls. If they go to the MBC website and go to the services, you're on the nonprofit part. I'm on like every single tab because I can tap in a little bit. We do a lot of joint consulting services to people because I don't know everything. I'll tell you what I know and what I don't know. And Shantae is the same way. So it's leveraging those experts. So when you come to MBC, we meet as a team, we work as a team. Maybe this is your designated primary consultant, but we really want to support midwives and take them to the next level. So yeah, Shantae, I'm excited that you joined the team and all these great nonprofit birth centers we're going to get going.
Oh, absolutely. I think you said everything I wanted to say. You are at a great place, a great juncture meeting NBC, because mm-hmm. it is a group approach, and what you don't know, you get to leverage the team for that. And it is so exciting. Don't ever think to not, because of what you understand, lean not on your own understanding, and being able to be a part of a community that we can lift you up and make sure mm-hmm. that you have the tools and the resources to accomplish yeah. whatever it is
yeah.
that you
are yeah to. People make the assumption when they have a designated time with us, I was like, you get the knowledge and wisdom of like, okay, I've got an accountant, I've got a lawyer, I've got a biller, I've got this person. I just spent 6 months interviewing and trial and error. Like you get to accelerate yourself so much faster because we did the trial and error. We're so yes, you're doing business plan planning, but it's like on speed. It's like you get to skip all of like, okay, I would have taken 2 weeks to interview and do my due diligence and figure out compliance and know. And they can just say to us like, okay, Leslie, what do most midwives do? What are my options? And so we're giving you the Cliff Note version for our specific industry. So I can't stress enough, if anybody is thinking about opening a practice or knowing their options out there, just have a discovery call with us and we'll help you navigate what's best. And we'll really be objective. It'll be like, okay, it sounds like you should just start here today. Let's do some consulting in 6 months, or let's like, we'll be very objective. Our goal is to do what's best for the midwives and their plan timeline.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, perfect. Well, I'll turn the record off so that we can just chat with Lindsay, but thank you so much for your time today, Shante.
Oh, absolutely.